Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But on the line with us right now is a guy who knows all of this stuff because he is a brilliant executive in the NFL for many years. He has written a bestseller, Gridiron Genius. He is in the process of writing a sequel, and he does the GM Shuffle podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Mike Lombardi is with us. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, everyone.
All right, so Mike. Last night, NBA draft, a few weeks ago, NFL draft. Why is the NFL draft so much more exciting than the NBA draft?
Well, the first thing is, I mean, people understand it. I mean, you needed a Senate subcommittee hearing to find out what that Nick trade was. I mean, it was absurd. I mean, he couldn't even give you the details. I mean, Twitter's killing the Knicks. You know, what did they get? Nobody knew what it was. I think there's just such a disconnect based on the collective bargaining agreement. I mean, they're not allowed to give away the trades, and you know it makes it very uncomfortable. And because of the depth of the draft, because that, you know, once you get into the 15-16 range, a lot of people feel like there's no superstars, so the impact of that player for the team doesn't weigh as much as it does in the NFL.
Mike, does this rule, I mean, they don't do this in the NFL. Why do they have a CBA that says basically you make a trade on draft night, you can't announce it? Does that make sense to you?
It hasn't made sense for years. Apparently, because it's not the new year, league hasn't started. You would think they would be smart enough to work around it and say, okay, here on draft day, we're going to do this. I mean, it really makes it bad television, and it makes it uncomfortable because you don't know what the reality is. A kid puts a hat on that says he's going to Philadelphia, and the next thing you know, he's got a hat on that says he's going to the Clippers. I mean, who knows? You know, it's so hard, and the fans lose interest. And then I think they don't do a good enough job of kind of understanding what the player can bring to the team and how the player is going to fit in the comparables of the players to NBA players. I mean, some guy last night got compared to Simmons, and the guy can shoot. You know, how do you do that?
You know what? Now you made me wonder, whatever happens to the hat? Like, if the guy gets traded 10 minutes later, does he have to give the hat back?
I guess you do. And you know, it's like your emotions go up and down. I mean, and then, right. Then they have to tell the kid that, you know, you're not going to this place, you're really going here. You know, I'm sure the kid's happy, but unfortunately, like when the Sixers made their trade, I mean, it took like how long before we knew Danny Green was involved?
I don't know, but I was thrilled when he was. All right, Mike, let me get to this thing because this is the biggest bone to pick with Daryl Morey so far since he came here. It appears he is obsessed with recreating the Houston Rockets of 4 years ago. He was trying to get P.J. Tucker. There were a whole bunch of other guys rumored, all with some connection. He ended up with this guy.
DeAnthony Melton.
DeAnthony Melton, who he drafted when he was with Houston. Why does he keep going to players? Is he scouting at all, or is he just going back into his past?
Well, I think, you know, it's like he's like a rock star, just plays his old hits, you know? I mean, yeah. It's hard. You got to come up with a new album at some point here. But the reality of it is he's going with what he knows, and it doesn't really matter what the age is. I think he's got a twofold problem. He's got a coach who can't coach any young players. I mean, let's be real honest.
Yep.
You could say, you know, well, he developed Maxey. Well, we could have that debate, and I'm not sure anybody who could say he developed Maxey is going to win. So let's put that offside. I mean, you know, you draft somebody at 23 with Doc Rivers, you might as well just put him in the G League. I mean, the search for Springer is still going on. I mean, nobody even knows what happened to that kid. So, you know, and so you've got to be able to work around the guy that you've got as your head coach. You know he can't develop talent. You know he doesn't want to play young players. So you've got to do that. I agree with you. I'm a little bit surprised that he doesn't have a bigger playlist. He doesn't have a bigger repertoire. You know, part of the whole thing is you got to find some players. Now, you know, he did bring Curry that wasn't in Houston, so you got to give him credit for that. But
son-in-law, I mean, knows him.
Yeah, exactly. But to me, I'm with you. I think to me, the expansion is poor. I think that's one of the things they made a mistake in the Simmons trade. They locked themselves into one player and one player only.
Hey, Mike, I want to ask you about free agents because we're watching a fascinating thing unfold with the Phillies. They signed two bigger, almost the same terms. $20 million a year, 4 years for Schwarber, five for Castellanos. Schwarber's got 20 homers and is having a great year. Castellanos has seven and is having an awful year. How do you know, Mike, when you're bringing a free agent in, how do you assess whether or not they're going to work on your team?
Well, in baseball, you've got way more analytical data than you do in football, right? So right. Baseball is a true analytical sport. I mean, you can look at his numbers. You can see his bat speed. You can see so many things that in football you really can't see. How money affects it in football is always the concern. We've seen guys get big contracts in football and not have the same. We've seen guys with no contracts that are looking for one that play great. So I think it's always hard. But in baseball, you got to be able to hang on to something that you feel really good about. Is he in a slump? Is his bat speed still really good? Is it just one of those situations where he's going through that he can't, that he's not being able to come out on the other side, that eventually he will and be proven correct? I mean, I think that's ultimately what you're doing in baseball. Football, it's way harder because you're dealing with something that you can't quantify all the time.
All right, Mike, we had John Tortorello on yesterday, and he is not hiding from the fact that in some of his philosophies, he's still old school. He will still call a guy out. He will get in a player's face if the guy's not doing what he needs him to do. Can you still do that in sports?
I truly believe this. You know, when I give talks around the country on leadership and culture, you know, I think ultimately times have changed, the parents have changed, you know, the players have changed, but how you win will never change. It will never change. And you've got to have players that are accountable. You've got to hold players at accountability. You've got to have players that accept coaching and not criticism, that they're willing to do what it takes for the team to win, that the name on the back is more important than the name on the front. And, I mean, the name on the front is more important than the name on the back. And I think that ultimately you've got to be able to convey that message. And you've got to do it. And if you can't do that and you can't get the players to buy in, I don't care what goes on. This is not a sport. Any sport is not, we're going to make everybody happy. Everybody gets to play right field, and we're going to Dairy Queen after the game. That don't work.
Literally. All right, Mike, one last. I saved the tough ones for the end. This one, I couldn't give you an answer myself. What in God's name is the NFL going to do about Daniel Snyder?
You know, I wrote a column for VSiN yesterday, Angelo. This is not just a fender bender that's happened. This has been 22 years. I mean, the guy's, as an owner of a franchise, he's 151-212 with one tie. He's only had 8 playoff games in his career. He's only won 2 of them. I mean, this has been bad for forever. And people can say, well, it hasn't always been this bad. Yeah, it has. You just haven't realized it. It's been a toxic organization for some time. It's a black eye. But the one thing that Snyder has in his repertoire that makes him a very dangerous person is the fact that he litigates everything. In fact, when he tried to buy the Washington football team the first time, you know, he had a partner, Howard Milstein, and Milstein and him were together. Milstein got lost out of the thing, threatened to sue. Snyder ended up suing him. That thing got settled out of court, but he's got that. Goodell can't do anything unless he has 24 votes, and Goodell will never call a vote unless he knows he has the vote. You've got to be like Lyndon Johnson and be able to count votes and know what you have. And he's also got to be worried about if he gets sued by Snyder. So this is a man who's destroyed a franchise. There's no denying. When I was a kid growing up, I mean, RFK Stadium, there's a wait list to get tickets. It was impossible. There's no longer people don't hate the Washington football team down there. They're indifferent to it. And he's made it indifferent. And I think that's the biggest thing. I don't think there's an answer to it, Angelo. The fact that he's removed himself, here's how you know nothing's changed. In culture, when you have protocols and systems in place, people know how to behave. When Jack Del Rio went all rogue on his speech, you know that nobody's actually told the guy, hey, Jack, your job isn't to talk politics at a press conference. Your job is to coach the defense. And how about you coaching a defense that can get off the field on third down? Stop worrying about what's going on in the political world. That's not your world. But they don't even have that. And so he went rogue. They fined him $100,000, and everybody says, oh, no big deal. They fined him. No, that is a big deal. They should have fined Rivera. He's in charge of the company. He allowed it to happen. There's a saying, you're either coaching it or allowing it to happen. They allowed it to happen.
Mike Lombardi, I'll bet you want to read the second book, Gridiron Genius. Mike, always great. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Angelo.
And did you hear? Oh,
O'Reilly. What? Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.